what's up, everyone? It is Sunday night, December 15th, 2019. This is your WWE TLC pay-per-view recap. I am Don Tony Jordan, along with me as always.
Kids in the hall, Kev Kessel.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on?
You know, we're still tweaking the audio a little bit. I think this is going to be a dramatic improvement from the past. But we just had TLC go off the air. I hate to sound sexist, but I will pose the question right off the bat. If these women were not women, would they have closed out the pay-per-view?
The answer is no.
I tell you, you look at the pay-per-view on paper, it was lacking. And I got news for you. I think the only reason why we did not get Bray Wyatt defending the Universal Championship against The Miz is because they did that purposely, not because of the Daniel Bryan storyline, not because Bray Wyatt wrestled as himself and not The Fiend, but if he would have defended the Universal Championship, everybody on the internet would have complained and said, wait a minute, why isn't the Universal Championship closing out the pay-per-view? So they actually made that non-title so nobody would have any complaints that Bray Wyatt did not close out the show. I think that's the only reason. Think about it. He's the fucking Universal Champion. He's fucking with The Miz's family. Why is that a non-title match? And the only justification I could come up with is they did not want Bray Wyatt to close out the show. So it's non-title. It's a regular match. It feels like a match that you would put on during a pay-per-view because the minute it's a title match, that should have closed it out. Why did the women close it out? I think that's the only reason why it was non-title.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That's the only reason. I didn't really know what the pecking order was going to be going into this pay-per-view. Then, of course, when I seen Reigns and Corbin in the spot they were in, I'm okay. And then, of course, you know, Bryan Daniel, I was like, all right, well, then it's obvious. Those were the only two other matches that I figured would have closed it out, Reigns and Corbin, or if it was a Universal title match for The Miz and Bray Wyatt. So I, again, went into this pay-per-view not knowing the pecking order. I really didn't know. I don't think anybody did.
Now, before we get into the individual matches, what's your overall take on the pay-per-view itself?
I was a little bored with it, I'll be honest with you. It didn't have any kind of big fight feel, so to speak, on it. No big fight feel matches. It seemed like, honestly, DT, it was something that we had to do a homework assignment because we do a podcast. I didn't think it was anything. Now, listen, I'd watch it even if I wasn't on a podcast. I'm a wrestling fan. But I wouldn't have paid so closely attention to it, taking notes, if I wasn't doing a show and owed it to the Patreons here to review it fairly. I would have probably drifted and watched other things tonight. It wasn't a must-see TV, no pun intended, pay-per-view, in my opinion. It was just something to have to close out the end of the year.
I think we got to start taking this as the new norm with WWE because they went out of their way to remind us tonight that the only way you could have saw this pay-per-view was through the WWE Network. No longer in direct TV or indirect, no longer the other pay-per-view outlets where you watch it on cable TV. It's WWE Network or none. So if you're a subscriber, if you're a new subscriber, you don't even pay for it. So if you pay $9.99 for the month, you know what I mean? You're already getting the pay-per-view. It's not like you're paying anything extra for it. So their thinking is because we don't have to split the cost with a cable company or pay-per-view company that, you know, we can give, you know, more of a house show type of a pay-per-view. I'm not saying Royal Rumble or WrestleMania or SummerSlam or Survivor. So I'm not saying those. But for the other pay-per-views, because it's WWE Network, because new subscribers, you're getting it for nothing. So why not sign up and watch it for free? And everybody else, their thinking is if you're paying $9.99 for the month, chances are you already subscribed for the month of December, because why would you sign up halfway through the month and lose 2 weeks that you would have gotten for nothing? And look, people did sign up today definitely to order this, but now it's not such a priority that they need to get a certain pay-per-view buy rate to break even. Of course, they had the expense of the arena and the cameras and everything else, but I don't think it's as much of a priority anymore to give us the big name drawers. How the fuck do you not have Brock Lesnar at all? How do you not have AJ Styles or Rey Mysterio at all? How do you not have the Universal Championship defended? You could even talk about Bayley or Sasha Banks. I mean, suddenly there's like virtually no women on the card. Why? Because they wanted to close out with the women. And, you know, like people were pointing out today how many main events Becky Lynch has had on pay-per-view. And I'm sorry, man. This main event tonight, they worked their ass off. They're definitely feeling it after the pay-per-view was over. But I got to be honest with you, this match, as I watched it, it felt like, all right, girls, we're main eventing this pay-per-view. We had the New Day and the Revival tear it up a little bit. We had, you know, some other matches tear it up a little bit. So we have to turn this into an absolute physical clusterfuck. Did not tell a story. It was just, let's do as many holy shit spots as we possibly can to make it worthy of closing out the pay-per-view. I didn't like it. Did not like it at all, the main event. Again, it worked hard. I'm glad the Kabuki Warriors retained because that was who I wanted to have retained. But the pay-per-view, I agree with you wholeheartedly. This was one that we could have passed up and had no complaints about. None whatsoever.
No, again, like I said, we do a show, and this is what we do. We review the show. You even did, I know you and Mitch did an NWA review last night, which I'm looking forward to hearing, by the way. I'm looking forward to watching that.
I'm going to just warn you of the audio quality because yesterday is the last of the horrible audio quality. And, you know, look, for those that don't know, you know, got some new equipment and it's still testing and getting to learn it. And it's not something you could do overnight. But I think if people listen to last night's recap of NWA and now it's like night and day, there's not a drop of echo. There's not a drop of, you know, interference. I mean, it's just beautiful. You know, your audio sounds a little bit like you're in a hallway, but I don't think anybody whatsoever is going to complain on the download. But so if the audio sounds a little off today, I don't want anybody saying to me, DT, you know, the audio sounds a little bit off today. It's a little work in progress, but it's definitely in the right direction. But now, as far as the predictions contest goes, we technically only had one additional match, and that was Andrade versus Humberto Carrillo. I said it right. Now, look, I know some people don't like when I get a little bit cocky or bragging, but about a month ago, I laughed at the goofs that said Humberto's pushes, and they used the word dead. Vince McMahon has decided that he isn't over. They can't do nothing with him right now. They tried. His push is dead. I laughed at it a month ago.
I heard the same thing.
Yeah. And if anybody thinks I'm lying, just Google Humberto Carrillo and dead and see what comes up. The second thing.
It says that when you press.
Yeah, seriously. I invite anybody right now. Google Humberto Carrillo dead or push dead. But another thing that I said about a month ago, 3 weeks ago, is I thought before the end of the year, Zelina Vega and Andrade were going to split up. And there was no dissension. There was no teasing. There was nothing at that time. And people were like, DT, where are you getting this from? Why do you see that? It was just a feeling. And I repeated it a couple of times over the last month. And today, you know, I felt good about Caio today. Because, you know, I'm not going to deny it. I got ripped apart by a lot of people when he first debuted on the main roster, you know, about his outfit. And, you know, I personally still think he should be a major heel, you know, cocky heel, because those dimples are heel dimples. And maybe you could even tease some when having Vega join up with him or showing that she's attracted to him and this and that. And he's like a naive guy that's fallen for the pussy and whatever. But Andrade and Zelina, I thought that they were going to split up. And tonight we had an awesome opening match. Andrade got a got busted up pretty good. I don't know if it was his eye or his nose, but when the crowd chanted, "This is awesome," you know, on a pre-show, I thought that was great. I mean, look, we've seen some 205 live pre-show matches where fans chanted that. But to me, even though he fought AJ, even though he fought Seth Rollins, even though he's fought other people, I think Humberto's match today against Andrade was his coming out party. What did you think of the pre-show match?
I didn't get to see it. I was actually at a meeting at Pizza Gardens on my way home. No joke. And I just got home in time to read the stuff that you guys wrote. I wrote something to you before I left, and we had a dinner meeting. So maybe a couple of miles from my house. You know Pizza Gardens, DT in Queens. And I got home in time to see the New Day match. So I missed that match.
Okay. Well, did you get some good pizza at least?
Yeah, no, we got good pizza. We got buffalo chicken pizza.
Oh, okay, all right, cool. Honestly, look, I know you and I have a difference of opinion about Humberto. I totally get why he looks like a generic, you know, guy. I get it. But I just feel like WWE sees something mega special in the guy. You know, he's very humble for the opportunity he's getting right now. Is he one of my favorites? Absolutely not. But I think if you watch this match today, I don't want to jump ahead, but in a different way, I think it was on the level of Buddy Murphy versus Aleister Black.
Which that was a good match.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that we'll get to that match in a second. But I also,
the only matches I got right, by the way, I blew it tonight on predictions. My God, I was off every match.
I think I'm trying to think what I actually got off today. I think I predicted Lashley and Rusev wrong, and also I think I predicted Roman Reigns and Corbin wrong. But if anybody heard our predictions yesterday, you and I on Patreon. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted Roman Reigns to win only because I wanted that storyline to end. And the same thing with Rusev. I think we went out of our way of saying, like, you know,
there had to be a payoff to end this already. And it doesn't, it can't be ending like this.
No, it can't be ending like this. But I will say this, though. Lana and Lashley in the pre-show. I know Lana's promos and her acting in this storyline has not been very good. I get why people criticize it, but the interview segment they did on the pre-show was funny as fuck. She was going after Charlie Caruso, threatening her. She was calling her Renee Young wannabe. But Lana, I thought, you know, she really hit her stride. You almost could see like a light bulb went off above her, and she really got smooth on it. The promo for the pre-show, if people missed it, if there's any way you could go and watch it, I thought it was pretty fucking entertaining. And the revival on the pre-show, just threatening Booker T and everything. I mean, look, it's scripted. You know, they're heels and they're challenging the announcers, fine. But I thought the revival's pre-show promo and Lana and Lashley was funny as fuck. It really was. I got to hand it to him. I thought it was pretty damn good. But
I got to go back and watch that.
Yeah. But the only pre-show match was Andrade versus Humberto. So now we go to the pay-per-view itself. And the opening match, New Day retaining the tag titles, defeating the Revival in a ladder match. And my God, I tell you, you know, a lot of people are still annoyed at how Kofi lost the heavyweight title to Brock Lesnar. But, you know, he got so much support. I mean, he always gets support from the fans. But, you know, him diving off the top rope and landing on the ladder, and then he falls off the ladder and lands on the fucking top rope and in the middle on the side of the ring. And it was just a phenomenal match. Very, very physical. It was a train wreck, without a doubt. But, you know, I thought this opening match was a lot of fun. And I got to give it to the Revival because, you know, they're very bland. And and that is part of their gimmick. But I really thought the match told a great story. You know, maybe a little bit too much of, you know, using the ladders to hurt their opponent. I mean, yes, that's the reason why you have a ladder match, but I also think that, you know, the storyline should have been more of constantly trying to get the belts, but it was a great fucking match. What did you think of this match?
I agree with you. I think, and I give, and again, you know, I could admit when I'm wrong and, or admit, you know, or even tweak a comment here and there, or say, I feel a little differently now. I give the Revival a very hard time on Twitter, mostly for fun, because so many people put them on the best tag team, and I'm like, but they don't connect to people. But they do work hard, and they gel well together. The crowd is still not really, you know, and people say, Kev, they're heels. Well, connect to the crowd. I'm like, the heels connect to a crowd. The Midnight Express connected to a crowd. Bad guy teams connect to a crowd. When Demolition were heels, they connected to a crowd. There is a connection to a crowd as a heel team. That's bullshit to say there's not. Meaning the crowd is invested in watching this team's match. Doesn't mean that they're in love with them. It means that they're like, I want to watch this. I'm invested to see them get their asses kicked. They put on a good match tonight. Kofi was the star of the show, no doubt about it. Kofi has transitioned fine into being a mostly tag team wrestler now. It's almost like a distant memory that he was the top dog on SmackDown and the world champion only a few months ago. But he's a utility player. Does a great job. You're right. It was a fun match. Revival did a good job selling and offense, defense. It was a good match. It wasn't bad. Again, give the Heart Revival a hard time. I probably will again. But tonight they did a good job.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, as far as it set the tone, and, you know, this is something also, I mean, obviously all these wrestlers on social media, they see all the complaints leading up to TLC that, you know, the on paper, it just looks like a very lackluster pay-per-view. So they probably had a little chip on their shoulder. I don't even think it has anything to do with AEW. It's just they have a chip on their shoulder, like, all right, we're going to show everybody that, you know, you weren't looking forward to TLC. We're going to fucking tear the house down. And, you know, for an opening bout, I thought it was excellent. And speaking of excellent, Aleister Black versus Buddy Murphy.
Very good. My favorite match of the night.
Yeah, I mean, it was my favorite match of the night also. These guys, I would like to see them as a tag team. I think, although they are beautiful in the ring, I mean, they were artistic today.
That's a good way to describe it, DT. When you just said beautiful, I'm like, that's actually a pretty good, and I've never heard you describe a match like that. I agree with you. It was an artistic thing to watch. It was a thing of beauty. That's the best way to describe it. I agree with you on the beautiful comment.
Yeah, Aleister Black broke his nose during the match, yep. Bloodied up pretty good. And Buddy Murphy, you know, he's gotten a little bit of a hard time ever since, you know, the thing with Roman Reigns, you know, and the Eric Rowan storyline. But I tell you, this might have been Buddy Murphy's best match yet in WWE because it was so even. I don't think anybody out there expected Buddy Murphy to get the offense that he got tonight. But these two, from beginning to end, I mean, just tore the house down. And I think we'll probably get a rematch on Raw tomorrow. But I think ultimately, I think, especially with the way the tag team division in WWE has been very lackluster, and it almost feels like tonight was designed to focus on tag team wrestling than anything else. I mean, but I don't think anybody imagined Buddy Murphy and Aleister Black to arguably end up having the best match of the night. Aleister Black beats Buddy Murphy in about 13 and a half minutes, and I want to see more of it. And I don't know if WWE is going to allow Buddy Murphy and Aleister Black to trade wins. It almost feels like they don't want Aleister Black to lose under any circumstances right now. But if they're not going to allow Buddy Murphy to get some wins, then maybe you show some sign of respect and the two team up with each other, because Aleister Black and Ricochet were actually a pretty good tag team. I think we all enjoyed it. But I think Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy would be that much better. I think they would be an awesome tag team. And I want to see, even if it doesn't happen right away, I want to see them not only have more matches, but have time. Because it's very rare do you get a 13-minute match on Raw for someone that's not named Seth Rollins or AJ Styles or someone like that. So I don't want to see Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy fight in 5.5 minutes.
No, they both look great tonight. I think Black, I agree with some of the chat comments, but I think Buddy Murphy looked maybe better. Maybe Buddy thought he had something more to prove. But Aleister did a good match. I mean, dare I compare it, and I'm not putting him on this level, so nobody freak out. But I'm saying in the way of the autistic and two fucking, you know, guys in there who really gel well together. Kind of like Bret Hart and Kurt Hennig, like in a way. Like, you know, like real good guys who can take bumps, guys of offense, defense. They match up well. Even back in the day, you know, Bret used to always get the best, usually, of Mr. Perfect. And Mr. Perfect would squeak out a win every now and then. But they should give Buddy Murphy a win in some context, even if it's got to be like a cheap thing where he rolls up Black and pulls the trunks or something like that. Something like that. Why not? I mean, it's not going to hurt Aleister Black. But you're right, DT. A team with those guys would be good. But I really think they're focusing on those two as solo stars at this point.
Yeah, well, the reason why I give Aleister Black a little bit of a pass as far as his in-ring work tonight with Buddy Murphy was because he had a broken nose. Yeah. So I'm sure that would throw anybody for a loop a little bit.
Oh yeah, it could totally discombobulate.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't think of Bret and Kurt for the simple reason that this was so freaking physical today. It almost reminds me more of like AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, or, you know. And speaking of that, there was one part. I think Samoa Joe is having a blast in the announcer's
booth. Oh, me too. Now. I think he's never going back to the ring.
I mean, there was one point where Aleister Black landed a kick, and the camera just showed the announce team in the background, and Samoa Joe was laughing up a storm. I mean, but in a positive way. He was loving it. And look, the announce team I thought was great today. Jerry Lawler with, you know, a lot better one-liners compared to maybe like a year ago. He's just found his stride again. And, you know, just everybody in the announce team was spot on. But, you know, the match, you know, Buddy Murphy, Aleister Black, I thought was fucking great. Favorite match of the night, easily. Not even close. Yeah.
Definitely. I think it showcased these two, the future, which they like to probably, is fair to call them. Both of those guys are the future. I'm not sure who's older than who, but I'd probably say an experience. Both guys, DT, probably about the same amount of experience, right? I know Aleister was on the European independent circuit a lot, maybe a little longer, but Buddy too. And it's funny, both of them non-Americans too, because, you know, ones, where's Aleister Black from? Aleister Black is from,
I don't know, England?
Well, no, Aleister Black is from Holland. Thank you, Ben.
Okay, Holland. All right.
Yeah, and Buddy Murphy is from Australia, right?
Yeah, okay. I think he's from Amsterdam. Amsterdam. All right. I know they're from overseas. I mean, I don't fucking care where they come from. I mean, there's so many international stars in wrestling now. Like I said, I think almost the United Dutch Destroyer, yeah. I think the American wrestlers are starting to turn into the minority, seriously. But
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not two American boys, you know, that a Kurt Angle and an AJ Styles. Like, these are two guys from overseas, another area who, like I said, the WWE is putting emphasis on guys like this now, which they didn't really do that much in the past. They had their select chosen ones. But now it's anybody's ball game. I mean, look at Finn Balor. It's really anybody's ball game right now. I think nothing holds anybody back from ethnicity to where they were born and raised in. I don't think that means anything.
Mm-hmm. Next, I guess this was the match to bring everybody back down a little bit. Viking Raiders with the open challenge. You know, we have a table with Kentucky Fried Chicken at ringside and four fans, and, you know, this one of the women with this animated just going over the top with her reactions. You know, I don't mean this literally, but, you know, I wanted to see her choke on a piece of chicken. Seriously. I just wanted her to choke on something. Seriously, I just... But, you know, if I got a kick out of certain people who ripped it apart online about the Kentucky Fried Chicken, because where were they when AEW had the spot for the, what was the name of the restaurant that AEW was putting over? It was like the Ground Round or something. I don't remember.
Was it the Ground Round?
No, the Ground Round's been
dead. No, not the Ground Round. What was that steakhouse in Florida, guys, that chat room? What was that steakhouse that Jericho lost the belt at?
Cracker Barrel.
But
they were pushing Cracker Barrel Steakhouse. And they actually had like Cracker Barrel at the event and everything. But look, you knew it was going to be kind of a comedy match. I thought the OC were going to be the ones challenged, but I thought the Viking Raiders would have got the win. Instead, they do the bullshit count out, and I thought it was really stupid because if anybody looks at the finish of the match again, if I remember this correctly, didn't Ivar do a power move off the top rope? He did like a tope or something, and that because he was on the rope, the referee should have started his count all over again, but instead continued the count, counted everybody out of the ring, and then, of course, you knew the table was going to get involved after, and Carl Anderson gets put through the table, and, you know, I you go back and you see the four fans at ringside, this woman with the overacting and stuff. She was like the reverse of the fucking woman that Mish and I were talking about yesterday were at NWA, but... You know, it was what it was. It was, you know, pretty much like...
Crowd wasn't into it, though.
Nah, and I think WWE expected that. It was to bring everybody back down again. But for our patrons, just to let everybody know, everybody gets half their points for that match. So whether you chose the Viking Raiders or you chose whoever their opponents were going to be, everybody gets half their points, everybody, because it wasn't, it was either Viking Raiders or question mark. So it didn't matter who the question mark was, but everybody gets half their points. But it's, you know, went to a no contest. I call it double count out.
Yeah, it was a double count. I was surprised it wasn't a decisive win. And that was the downgraded match. And Viking Raiders still fighting to get that kind of pop. I don't think they're ever going to get a Road Warriors or a demolition pop. I think that's their hope is that they get one of those big monster pops as a monster team. I don't know, man. I think it would have happened by now, you know, but and the OC is without AJ Styles, quite honestly, DT. I think the crowd cares.
Yeah, AJ Styles home for the night. Next, we got Roman Reigns versus King Corbin. A lot of people thought that this match possibly would have closed out the pay-per-view.
Me too.
I'm sorry, I just can't get into this at all. Corbin gets heel heat from the crowd, without a doubt, but there is nobody else on the roster right now that gets so much complaints online, and it's not because he's a heel and, you know, people think, oh, he's doing his job then, we're all complaining. No, I honestly, legitimately went into the other room, I think got myself some, cheese, fried cheese or whatever, and was doing a couple of days, and I'm listening to it, and, it was a physical match, but, they had to get Dolph Ziggler involved, they had to get Corbin's security team involved, they had to get the Revival involved, and then you started thinking, okay, maybe Roman Reigns is not going to win this thing, and his fucking feud is going to go even further. But Roman Reigns does not get his revenge. King Corbin beats him in over 20 goddamn minutes. To me, too long. Just did not feel it. Nothing against Reigns, but this is a feud I have zero interest in.
I think most people have zero interest in it. I don't know why they're pushing so hard for this. And clearly it's not the end. And as we, not to get ahead of ourselves, but, the pay-per-view ended with those two fighting and a spear into almost like a mosh pit, crowd surfing kind of thing, which neither could have gotten hurt. They landed on a bunch of people. But they wanted to make like they're still brawling in the back. And if you remember, DT, throughout the rest of the night, the announcers would even say, just got word that the fight continues backstage. Like they said it several times. Clearly you talk about who McMahon doesn't like. He clearly likes Corbin. And this is though, and I understand that Reigns is getting put back in that old position that he had before he got cancer. He's going back to the top. Some like it, some don't. But is this just take up his time with Corbin until the real, the Royal Rumble kicks into play and then the road to WrestleMania for Roman Reigns versus The Fiend, which I'm still not convinced that that's actually going to be the match yet, DT, are you? That it's definitely Reigns versus Fiend for many?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. honestly, the thing I take away from this, two things. Number one, when you have the 24/7 title constantly having people running around the building, seeing them brawl all night long doesn't faze me at all. When everybody is doing it for so long, you get used to it. So this brawl that's going on, I don't care how many people are involved, it didn't entice me at all. The second thing is anybody Roman Reigns' friend? I mean, nobody. True. I mean, if you're going to bring the Usos back, I would have thought this would have been a perfect way to bring them back to TV. Let them come to the rescue of Roman Reigns when he's getting beat down by Ziggler and security team members and everybody else. Yep. But no, nobody. I mean, if you were ever going to turn Roman Reigns heel, I mean, he could just come out on SmackDown, cut a promo and say, nobody was there for me. No one in the WWE locker room. You know, you left me out there. Like, I mean, they would never do that. But just in storyline purposes, Roman Reigns has no fucking friends. Nobody came to the aid of Roman Reigns tonight.
It's true. It is weird. For the second time, when they tied him up with the dog food a week ago, you know, and then smeared him with all that shit. I mean, no one's coming to his end. He's the locker room leader, and he's the nice guy everybody likes. I don't get it. At least have someone come out and save him. At least Ali and what's his name come out and save him? Somebody.
Yeah, somebody. Anybody. Gable, somebody. I mean, somebody, anybody. But next, we got Bray Wyatt versus The Miz. And now, just by process of elimination, we only have two matches left. And I'm saying, okay, the women are going to be closing this out. And again, yeah, as I said in the opener, now I understand why Bray Wyatt was non-title. Because if he's a title match, why wouldn't you have him close out the pay-per-view? They made it non-title solely because the women, they wanted them to close. Bray Wyatt, as you know, I told everybody, you know, would come out. You know, it's not a case where The Fiend is the champion and Bray Wyatt is not. Bray Wyatt's the champion. And I used a comparison yesterday on Patreon, like Finn Balor. If Finn Balor was the IC champ, but he won it when he was the Demon, does that mean that the Demon is only the champion, but he comes out without paint, he's not the champion? I don't know why people started thinking that about Bray Wyatt, you know, just with the mask or without. Bray Wyatt is the champion. He came out with the belt. They had him dress just like he does with the Firefly Funhouse segments. And right. What did you think of the match with him and The Miz?
It was weird watching him come out as himself. It was kind of surreal. You know, it was, and I think the crowd was a little weirded out by it too. I mean, everyone's like, this is great. Like, even online, I'm watching Twitter fans, followers, you know, friends of ours saying this is kind of cool. And I was like, yeah, it's just the crowd is so quiet. I just want Bray to be over more live. It's almost like I want to see the crowd get more amped up for him. It's just too quiet for me for a top guy who was a champion. And I understand he wasn't The Fiend. The title wasn't online. I get that. But, you know, what he did to Miz and with the kid in the room, and it was a compelling storyline for the last couple of weeks. Can the crowd get a little emotionally invested in this? Is it The Miz's fault? You understand, DT, they didn't want to see The Miz really kick his ass for invading his daughter's room, and people can relating to, you know, being, what a creepy thing. Kick his ass, Miz. Look what he did to Monroe's room, you know, to the baby and the doll. I just thought that there should be some of that kind of oomph with the crowd. And was it Minnesota or would Philadelphia not even give it a shit? So I really don't know, DT. I liked it. It was weird. It was different. But the dead silence from the crowd was freaking me out a little bit, Don Tony. It didn't the crowd not giving and taking with those two was bothering me. Let me just put it to you that way. I just thought they set it up pretty good. Was it maybe they needed a little bit more stretch of that? Or is The Miz not that over as a babyface, DT, where they don't give a fuck? You know, I don't know.
I enjoyed him coming out by himself when he was playing up to the crowd and picking the belt up and the crowd eating it up and chanting yowie wowie. I mean, The Miz had a hard time with that because The Miz is supposed to be the sympathetic babyface right now. And, you know, the fans, I mean, they have been entertained with The Fiend for the last bunch of months. So, you know, so when you have Bray Wyatt come out, you know, he's been so much on fire that the crowd loved it. No matter what, they were going to love it. The match only went 6 minutes. And, you know, it was interesting. And look, Bray Wyatt back in the day when he was his previous character, he would, you know, go out of his way to, you know, to laugh and smile with pain. I mean, this is not the first person who did that. Mick Foley used to do it. Raven used to do it. I mean, a lot of wrestlers in the past would actually start laughing when they would get... Al Snow is another one that I remember that would do that, especially when they have hardcore matches. The match was what it was. I don't think anybody expected it to be crazy. Maybe because it was non-title, I thought maybe Miz would get disqualified and just go way over the top. I just thought there was a little bit too much of the wrestling inside the ring. I had no problem with Bray Wyatt coming out the way he is. It was, to me, it was the fact that we didn't get the red lighting was right. Probably worth it all, but... You know, the big news is after the match, I think everybody and their mother expected Daniel Bryan to show up tonight. There was a lot of reports all week that, you know, he cut his hair short. And, you know, there's a lot of people in the retro mode. You know, if anybody's noticed, a lot of people online were starting to show wrestlers and how they looked in 2009 and 2019. And there's been a lot of examples, and I think people were waiting to see how Daniel Bryan would look. And look, he's obviously shows signs of aging in 10 years. The man has went through a hell of a lot, let alone, you know, just the wrestling part of it. But, you know, he showed up, he attacked Bray Wyatt. Now, before he came out, Bray Wyatt, the Fiend character, was shown on the Titantron. And basically, that was more of like, you know, it was figurative. It was just like, you know, he's seeing it on the Titantron for all of us to see, but really he sees it in his head. And the Fiend is telling him to do things that he shouldn't. He takes out the giant mallet. And by the way, if anybody takes a look at the prize wall, that Bray Wyatt holiday set is on there, and you do get one of those mallets. And you do get a jar. Nice. Yeah, you get a jar of the Ramblin' Rabbit, that jelly or whatever it is. It's not filled with anything, but...
So there's nothing in there?
No, there's nothing in there, but it still looks pretty cool. They probably put, like, maybe... I don't know if there's anything inside. The jar looks filled, but they said it does not come with jam. So maybe it's just... I don't know. See, the thing, I think it's got to be empty because for children, if you put fake jam just to fill like you know that goop stuff. Yeah, slime is another one.
Slime back in the day in the '80s, late '70s.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't see, you know, the chances of kids opening up the jar, jam, and they start eating the slime. So I think it's probably just going to be empty. But he takes out the mallet, and you know the lights. The lights don't go off, but they tease that the lights are going to go off because we hear that sound effects when the Fiend would show up. But Daniel Bryan shows up. He's wearing a hoodie, and he starts attacking Bray Wyatt. You know, we can see his face, and his beard is cut down substantially. And I noticed on social media almost immediately, people were like, oh, wait a minute. He's back as 2009. Daniel Bryan. So he opened up the decade with almost the identical look, and he's closing the decade with almost the identical look. He has his head shaved down to like a crew cut. He's got, you know, a little bit of a beard, not much, but if you look at him in 09 and you look at him now, I mean, you know, just with the exception of a little bit of aging, he looks the same. And yeah, the crowd ate it up.
A little Orange Cassidy, a little Jason Solo monster. He looks a little bit like that.
A little bit
facially.
Yeah, but you know what? When people saw him in 09, I don't remember anybody comparing him to Jason. And when we used to see old stuff, I don't remember anybody saying, you know, oh, hey, Orange Cassidy looks a lot like old school Daniel Bryan. It's just because it's a fucking blonde-haired, buzz-cut guy, you know, with a little bit of 5 o'clock like shot. I mean, when people were saying that Rusev looks like me, I'm like, No, it's not even close. Why? Because we both have a mustache and we got dark pushback hair. Rusev looks nothing like me.
No, but I also thought, like, the one thing, and tell me if I'm wrong, have you ever in your life had a goatee?
Yes. Oh, sure.
Oh, you've had a goatee?
Goatee? That's why my bobblehead has a goatee on it.
Yeah. But I don't remember that. But you never had a full beard. You never had a full beard.
I tried to have a full beard once in the early 90s. And
doesn't
after,
grow right.
No, it doesn't grow right. But I had a goatee for about 20 years.
Okay, I remember, but it wasn't like a full big goatee. But you never had a beard. That's for sure.
No. I mean, I've had a lot of scruff. I mean, when I was working in XPW, I mean, some people know this already. Some people will laugh at it. Keep in mind, we're going back to 2002. But right. Not only did I have a little bit of scruff on my face, but they actually had me put a little bit of purple streaks in my hair.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, no joke. I had actually purple highlights in my hair. I have some photos.
Yeah, that was before I knew you.
Yeah, I have some photos somewhere of it. I'll put them online. But, you know, it was good to see Daniel Bryan back. I will say this, as weird as it sounds, when you see him as 09 Daniel Bryan, he looks a lot smaller. You know, it's amazing you cut the hair and he looks like much smaller.
He does look older, but we all do. And he does look smaller. I agree with you, DT. He looked pretty small in that ring when he was going up against Bray. And DT, correct me if I'm wrong. Does Bray look like he's putting the weight back on?
No. Sweater. He had outfit underneath. They wear a black spandex underneath to keep everything nice and tight and all that. So, you know, he was wearing, you know, a couple of layers. Now, Bray Wyatt is jacked right now. You know, he'll never be, you know, like... What
sweater belly Allen said. Alan Cole's
no,
sweater
no, he's jacked. There are photos of him on Instagram. I don't know about shirtless, but you know, at least tank top. And you could see that, you know, he's not, you know, extremely trim and
right. Well, he's a big bone guy, I think, by nature. Yeah.
But he is jacked. He's definitely jacked. But it was great to see Daniel Bryan back. This'll, as we said yesterday, it'll be Miz, then Brian, then Reigns. That's what it feels like as far as Bray Wyatt goes. Maybe you mix in a little Braun Strowman with that as well. Look, not even no Braun Strowman tonight also.
True.
No Braun Strowman. But next, we get Rusev with Lashley in a tables, versus Lashley in a tables match. Lon in the corner of Lashley. Soon as I hear, you know, oh, no order of protections tonight, I'm like, remember when we said you can't cancel 911? You can't cancel order of protection. It's just horrendous. I mean, they wanted Lana to get involved in a match. Unfortunately, motherfuckers, when you make a storyline where she issues orders of protection and Rusev gets arrested because of it, you cannot have Lana anywhere near Rusev. You can't just say, oh, for tonight only, one night only. There's a lot of husbands and boyfriends out there that would love to have one night only their order of protection is thrown out. It's just the storyline is messy. You know, I'm not feeling it. I know Rusev has really amped it up a notch. He looks like he's having fun. You know, Lana and Lashley, they're trying to make the best of it. It got physical. I mean, Rusev going through the guardrail looked pretty painful. But in the end, we have Bob Lashley getting the victory.
Bob Lashley.
Yeah,
I just think that's so funny. Bob Lashley.
It's pretty funny that they had two tables in two different corners, almost as if just in case one of them does not break, we have the other table, and that's exactly what happened. You know, Lashley tries to put Rusev through the first table. It doesn't break. He picks him up, and he splashes him through the second table, and Lashley wins in about 13 and a half minutes.
Yeah, I hate this storyline. I hate it as much as the Reigns Corbin one, and they gave it enough time. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, two big bruisers, they're not going to dazzle anybody with any fancy moves, two 300-pounders. Or around 300 pounds. It was as good as it could be, you know. But surprisingly, you know, I called that match wrong too, DT.
Yeah.
The winner, I called the wrong winner on that one too.
Ben, guardrails can be bought as far as steel, like solid steel, and you could also buy them hollow. And the reason being is because it's more for, you know, blocking off a crowd from getting a little bit too close to air, you know, the ring. But the thing is that they're hollow because they're easier to carry, and they're not designed, you know, so, I mean, if you think about it, if you have a barricaded ring saw, you just jump over it. And it's not designed that it's heavy so midgets can't fucking topple it over. It's just, it's hollow. So, you know, it still hurts. You know, let me throw you on top of fucking a bunch of hollow, you know, guardrail.
I could tell you right now, I worked a show the other night where they had guardrails embedded into the stage. They soldered them to the stage together, and they taped them up on the front. So if anybody hits it, it doesn't hurt that much, because, you know, there's moshing and some people might fall back on it and stuff. They kind of padded it, but they soldered two gates together that they bought at this one club because they were tired of people going on stage. It kind of discouraged it a little. Some people were jumping off of it, but they tape rolled it around and around and around just to make sure no sharp ends or nobody gets busted open on it. I just saw that the other night.
That's scary, because if you get enough weight pushed against that and it snaps, you have a whole bunch of exposed metal.
Yep. You know? But they did a pretty good job padding it.
That I'm sure. Good. Yeah, they know what they're doing. But
they had a guy there all day doing it, actually.
Yeah, but Lashley gets the win, and now we look at the night that the good guy Rusev does not get his revenge, and the good guy Roman Reigns does not get his revenge, and I'm a little bit concerned that, you know, where does this go from here? I mean, we have the Royal Rumble coming up, but I don't want to see Lashley and Rusev go at it at the Royal Rumble, and I don't want to see Reigns and Corbin go at it at the Royal Rumble, unless it's they're part of the 40-man, you know, match and they brawl for a couple of seconds. But I don't know. These two storylines, they suck. They suck.
And we were assured that they won't end tonight because the guys won it where it automatically continues, because the good guys did not win.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just not feeling it. But now we have a backstage segment with the Street Profits. Oh, yeah. And they're interrupted. You know, first they're talking about telling Lashley to get a vasectomy. But they're interrupted because Corbin and Reigns and the New Day and the Revival, they're all brawling. And for some reason, I think the Street Profits started kicking Dolph Ziggler. I think it was Dolph Ziggler, but I don't know. It's just like, it just felt WWE 24/7-ish. You know, it's like, I don't fucking give a shit about this. Kill yourselves, you know? You know? I know we said that about TNA fans, but everybody involved in that segment, kill yourselves. And I don't mean kill yourselves like murder, but, you know, you never, like, hey, mom, dad, I'm going to go play tackle football in the yard. Go kill yourselves. You know what I mean? Like, you don't mean physically murder. We're talking about, you know, just go tear yourselves apart. But
kill each other. Yeah.
Yeah. And still, that's not the end of all those individuals we just talked about, because we got the main event, Kabuki Warriors retaining the women's tag titles. Match went 26 minutes long. I think WWE tried to make sure that they would have the longest match on the card. I'm happy to see the Kabuki Warriors on top closing out the pay-per-view. But again, the whole storyline with Charlotte and the Kabuki Warriors was very lopsided. I don't want to say I didn't like it. I'm not going that far, but it was lopsided. And Becky Lynch, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and that's why they were teaming up. You know, her getting tied to the guardrail reminded me of silent film 1900s, where a woman is tied to the train tracks. Oh my God, I don't know what to do. Oh my God. And then right before the train comes, I mean, it was just, it was like
comparison.
It was a bad horror film. It was just, I was like waiting for the train to come. It was a, I just hated it. And, you know, she's there for 10, 12 minutes. She's there. I don't know what to do. I'm kicking myself because it was a bad horror film, because it's not like her hands were tied behind her back. They're right in front of her. All she's got to do is fucking flex the wrist, bend over, and you could fucking unloose everything. And that's exactly what they did. But, yeah, you know, I liked the rope being tied to the ladder for only one reason, and it was the very end, because when we had Becky Lynch climb the ladder and everybody thought she was going to grab the tag titles, we had the Kabuki Warriors. I don't remember which one it was, but right, she grabbed the rope from outside the ring and just yanked the ladder, and Becky falls off it, and ultimately the Kabuki Warriors get the win. Very, very physical. You know, it's just a lot of table shots, ladders. You know, the chairs were a little bit lame, especially when you're waiting for someone to get in position. I mean, let's be fair. I criticized it Wednesday with AEW. To watch Ortiz get in position, and you could literally count to five before he gets
When he put his head there, when he was down on his knees and he put his head there, that was ridiculous. Yeah.
I had two big problems with AEW Wednesday. That spot, and also Cody, when he finally got his hands on the bald and the bookkeeper. I mean,
the blade and the butcher.
Yeah, the first two things that Cody did, when he finally got his hands on you know, the Baldy and the Behemoth, is he did a collar and elbow tie-up, and he did a drop kick. I mean, when you have people coming in that want to cut the head off the snake, the first thing you do is a collar and elbow and a drop kick. So, you know, but tonight, it wasn't on that level where you could count to five, but, you know, watching them, you know, wait for Kairi Sane to get in position so we could gently, like, hit her in the back with the chair. They worked hard. There's no doubt about it. They've earned the right to main event some pay-per-views, no doubt. But it also needs to feel like it should be the main event, that everybody came to see that match more than anything else. And it felt thrown together. Charlotte and the Kabuki Warriors was just too lopsided, and Becky at the very end, I'll partner up with you. It just felt thrown together. And, you know, if they were, I feel like the only reason why they closed the pay-per-view is because they're women. And I don't like that. I have no problem with women closing out pay-per-views. WrestleMania was apropos. Becky Lynch and Charlotte last year, I mean, their feud, it was apropos. Ronda Rousey had a couple of feuds that could close out pay-per-views, sure, and it did. But you can't just keep putting certain people to close out a pay-per-view. This isn't Madison Square Garden 1981, where the main event is halfway through the show, and then it goes until curfew. And then maybe some people, you know, want to get a little head start on the train because it's really, really late and stuff like that. You know, I just did not feel this. And the match felt like, all right, like I said at the beginning, all right, girls, we're closing out this pay-per-view. We got to put it all out there. And it doesn't feel like a lot of it was really, I don't want to say planned out, but it was just a mess. It was like they would look over and see this. Oh, okay, let's do this because it just looks physical. And let's do this because this looks physical. It was just a hot mess.
It was a hot mess. First of all, just thank you to Alan Rovers because he put a nice picture up of Snidely Whiplash tying the girl to the train tracks, DT. Which is what
okay.
Remember Snidely Whiplash? Yeah. I think that was Underdog. Wasn't that Underdog? And he used to come and save people.
I think I think it was Underdog.
Was Snidely Whiplash the enemy of Underdog? Does anybody know
that?
Yeah,
I think it was. I think it was Underdog. You know,
Snidely Whiplash.
You know who I was thinking of? Dick Dastardly.
Dick Dastardly.
Remember
too?
The dog?
Was Dick Dastardly?
I used to be able to do the impersonation of the dog. I haven't done it in about 20 years, but I can't.
Oh my God. Oh, Muttley.
Muttley. I used to do an awesome Muttley. See, my unfortunately my lungs are not as good as they used to be, but I practice it enough, I could do it perfect. I mean, really perfect. But
I have a friend named Gary Muttley who's a bouncer, and that's his whole gimmick. And He does the laugh, and he's literally morphed into almost looking like Muttley the dog. And we call him Muttley, Gary Muttley. Shout out to Gary Muttley if you actually ever get to hear this. Okay. Said he's going to join Patreon actually one day. So
I wonder if anybody was in the chat on Fight TV yesterday for NWA, because I was in the chat room, and I ended up watching 95% of the pay-per-view through my Roku. But I was watching it through the computer, and the chat room was so annoying. So I was in the chat room, and I was telling people, look, is there any way I could disable this chat room so I don't have to look at your annoying fucking Marky-ish comments? And I got into fights with so many people. And if anybody remembers last night...
Oh, the NWA?
Yeah. If anybody remembers in the chat room yesterday, some asshole by the name of Beef Jerky, that was me.
Oh, that was you?
Yeah, I was eating a piece of beef jerky, and I was like, all right, I'm going to act like a jerk because I really wanted to disable the chat, and I should have just probably Googled it, but I ended up getting into fights almost immediately with all these fucking goofs. So I had some fun yesterday. Beef
jerky. Didn't know who you were. They didn't know who you were.
No. They just knew. They were like, who is this beef jerky guy? He is funny. A jerky guy. Yeah, he was a jerk. I was beef jerky. In fact, I will probably use that name in the future, you know, if I want to troll any of you motherfuckers. So if you ever come across beef jerky, I'm giving you advance notice. That's me.
Nice.
You know, because I was infamous when Goodman and all them would fake post about me, and I would try to get a little revenge, but I just was not good at it. I used to be Don Cornelius.
I remember that name. I think I remember you.
In the message board. I remember Match Maniac one time on
the
show.
Mick and that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember one time on a show saying, you know, who is this Don Cornelius guy that keeps opening his mouth up? And I don't know if maybe he matched up the IP with me, but I always thought that he knew that I was Don Cornelius.
And you got that from Soul Train, right?
Yeah, from Soul Train. I used to love Soul Train. I used to fucking love Soul Train, but...
No, it's good. Well, the match, I agree with you, DT. I think it was just slapped together. I don't think it was anything special, and you're right. They have to stop this where they feel they're like, well, we keep letting the girls close out the show. Should we just keep doing it? No, the answer is no, and the match has to mean something. Kabuki Warriors getting the win was the right way to go, unless they wanted this super tag team of Charlotte and Becky and then have the discourse where they've had enough discourse between the two of them. Kabuki Warriors are a hot team right now for the women's division, the hottest women tag team they've had. But who goes against them now? Again, DT, what do they bring back? The Iconics as a babyface team to go get the belts. Mandy and Sonya can't beat them. They don't have anybody. They're going to have to put a team together. I don't know who. But who's going to beat the Kabuki Warriors now? What opponents are they?
There'll be a fluke. There'll be a fluke win somewhere.
You think so?
Okay. Yeah, there'll definitely be a fluke win somewhere. I'll tell you, you know, the match went the longest tonight. But then when we thought that, you know, the match would, you know, basically be it, we get, for some reason, Roman Reigns, Corbin, and a bunch of others fighting into the, you know, the arena, and you know, the next thing you know, Reigns spears Corbin, and that's the new thing. We've seen it in NXT a couple of times in the last couple of weeks. Put a few plants right near ringside, and we'll have the wrestlers dive into what it appears to be a whole bunch of fans. You know what I mean? But I don't know. That's how they closed it out, and you know, what pissed me off more than anything about, you know, the ending was, you know, it went off the air. I go to get a drink to bring into the room to do the show. And then I hear in the background what I forgot, that tonight Austin was going to interview Goldberg on that next series that they're doing. So I don't know if a match took place off the air. Maybe everybody ended up having a match. I don't know if maybe they had The Fiend come out and do something again. I don't think so. But, man, you know, everybody worked hard. I don't think anybody winged it. But on a scale of 1 to 10, I give it 6.5. I mean, because I just... You know, Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy was my favorite match of the night. Rusev and Bob Lashley just, you know, it didn't come to a conclusion. No. It was, Roman Reigns and Corbin is, I'm just not feeling it. You know, Bray Wyatt versus Miz, you know, it was great to see Bray Wyatt, obviously, but, you know, it just, I there's something was missing there, and it wasn't the mask. You know, the opener with the New Day and the Revival was great. Pre-show match was excellent, but that doesn't really leave much else. That leaves the women's tag match, and it just was a hot mess. So I give it a 6.5, maybe a 7 if I want to be generous. But to me, I feel that 5 is average. You know, 5 is in the middle. So I'm saying it's a little bit better than in the middle because everybody worked hard and some of the matches were fucking phenomenal. But I'll give it a 6.5. Favorite match was Aleister Black, Buddy Murphy. Least favorite match, Viking Raiders versus the OC.
That's not bad. I might even tend to agree with him. My favorite match, Buddy Murphy versus Aleister Black, definitely. Least favorite match, War Raiders match was my least favorite match, no doubt. War Raiders OC. Overall, 6. Yeah. 6.
Yeah, I just think it's, I don't know, man. It's just, you could maybe get away with this on a house show, and everybody worked hard, no doubt about it. The women deserve credit. They fucking tried. But it just, once again, you know, forcing certain people to main event, you know, to push an agenda, to make it even out. Sometimes it just doesn't work that way. Sometimes, you know, things might get lopsided, and it's not because anybody's sexist, it's not because anybody's racist, it's not because of anybody anything, it's just because the people that are entertaining, or maybe the writers, you know, some storylines are not meant to main event. And to me, Becky and Charlotte versus the Kabuki Warriors was not a main event storyline.
Definitely not. And again, DT, you know, the funny thing is, again, when it's all said and done, what was the point of tonight's pay-per-view? No title changes, none of the real big stars on it, no Lesnar, no Seth Rollins, no Kevin Owens. What was really the point? No title changes, nothing really completed in a storyline coming to a conclusion to close out the year. What was the point? I don't get, just because it's on the schedule?
Schedule, and the Royal Rumble, you know, people need to remember too. I don't remember the exact date for Survivor Series, but it feels like Survivor Series was just, you know, like 3 weeks ago. And I might even be right with that. I'm pulling it up right now. Survivor Series wasn't it November 25th. It was November 24th. So there was only, 30 days of September? So it was 6. Survivor Series was only 3 weeks ago. So you come off a Survivor Series, and in 3 weeks, you have another pay-per-view. Now, I know, you know, there's a pay-per-view pretty much every month, but, you know, some pay-per-views are 5-6 weeks apart. This was 3. And it's just terrible that, you know, because you're on such short notice, it would be so easy to fill this up more solid by having Brock wrestle, by having Rey Mysterio wrestle, maybe AJ. Bayley could have fought Lacey Evans. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that some of those matches would have been better than others that we saw tonight, but you have so many people that were on Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins, AOP. There are so many people that were left on the side. I could see if Christmas was this weekend or early next week, and they just decided to give some people an extended Christmas break. But they still have another episode of Raw, two episodes of Raw before the Christmas holiday. And I don't get this. I don't get this. It just feels like filler. But again, you, WWE Network, you're a new subscriber. You got it for free. You're already a subscriber. You already got it included for the month. I don't know. This was a throwaway, and I think we have to be a little bit, I don't know if it's concerned, but I think we're going to have a lot more throwaway pay-per-views like this when all the viewers are WWE Network or nothing.
I agree.
Yeah. So with that, we are done. So any final thoughts before we call it?
No, I mean, we watched it, and it was fun to do this for the fans and the Patreons and everything, which I love doing. And I love to be honest with you, I said this to Mission of Voicemail. I said I'm going to love doing the recap more than I love doing, love watching the pay per view itself. And I was right. I enjoyed this show far more than I enjoyed watching that show.
Yeah,
and that's truth, straight up shoot.
Yeah. Now tomorrow will be very easy, very quick show because we don't have to cover tonight. I don't really have to do anything with NWA because it was covered yesterday. And you know, this week there's a show every week. You got DTKC tomorrow, you have Dark Chronicles Tuesday, I got Wednesday Night Dynamite Wednesday, Breakfast Soup Thursday, Wild Card Friday on Friday, blah 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 on Saturday. So it's gonna be shows for the next 6 days. So
A little bit of a break for the Christmas.
Yeah, we're gonna take a little bit of a break next week. We'll give details to everybody later this week. But I hope everybody enjoyed this recap. Definitely send us your feedback. Let us know what you thought about the pay per view. Agree, disagree, and we'll be back tomorrow, Monday night, with next installment of the DTKC show.
Yeah, catch up on the news, and I know people want to hear about what we think about one of our Moondogs passing away.
Yeah, we talked about it this past Monday. You know,
he was sick. Yeah, he just passed.
Yeah, a lot of people ignored it. It's sad. It's a lot of people ignored about him being in failing health, and he passed away. But we'll pay a little respects to him tomorrow.
And Rene Goulet, too, who was just revealed. I didn't even know that he passed.
I had some fun with that on, I don't remember if it was blah, 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 but it might have been blah, blah, blah. But I actually, if you go to my history show in the end of May, I actually had put him in there. If anybody does a Google search, his obituary from the funeral home has been on the net since May. Wrestlers pay tribute to it. Fans pay tribute to it. You'll see tributes in May.
I know, but why would none of the mainstreams break it?
Because they all follow each other. Only one person breaks and everybody cuts and pastes. Nobody does research on their own. I mean, look, I'm not going to deny it. You know, there's no reason for me to research Rene Goulet. But what had happened was I did my episode for the history show that week, and then we did DTKC, and then he passed away, and I updated the history show, and I never talked about it again because honestly, you know, Rene Goulet, you know, I mean, I just didn't feel the need to pay tribute. But, you know, when I saw on the net that, it was just released now, I'm like, that's not true. And I checked it, and sure enough, I was right. Everybody out there, you're more than welcome to do it. Look him up, do a Google search, and just type in funeral home. And you'll see his obituary's been there, fans, wrestlers paying tribute in May, June, July, telling stories. There was a picture of him right before he died, and he looked very, very old. And it talked about everything. It's been on the net since May, and nobody took the time.
Nobody talked about it. I don't even remember us talking about it.
No, we didn't talk about it. Yeah. All I did was just update it on the history show, and that was it. Because Rene Goulet, I mean, let's be honest, for this current generation, nobody fucking followed Rene Goulet, and probably nobody really cared. I mean, because a lot of legends have passed. Put it this way, at the end of the year, when I read the list of everybody who died this year, there's some notable names that people definitely pay tribute to, but there's going to be about 20 to 25 names that fall in the same category as Rene Goulet that nobody ever talked about. So it was just no websites out there and pretty much no podcasters. It's a name, a sexy name. You know, nobody's going to bother doing the research, but I invite anybody to go look. It's been on the net since May. It wasn't a secret. It wasn't like, we're finally ready to release the information. It's been on the net since May. If people go look it up, there was a lot of tributes,
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised because I know I saw him in the garden many times in 80, 81.
Oh, sure. 82. Sure. I mean,
my brother even said, my brother's like, Rene Goulet died. I'm like, I know. Did you hear about it? He's like, no, I didn't hear about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, no one heard about it. I guess you're right. But, you know, but we've heard about when Mike Sharp died and stuff. So I was kind of surprised Rene didn't get the same treatment.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I agree. But we'll talk about it tomorrow a little bit.
Oh, yeah, well, we'll catch up on it tomorrow. And I'm going to go check out the Steve Austin interview now.
Yeah, I'm going to go watch it too. So, all right.
Okay, I'll talk catch you tomorrow night, DT.
Later.
Right, peace, everybody. Okay. Peace.
All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're looking to download it, you know what? I really don't have to do too much tonight as far as editing goes. I got to figure out. This is going to blow me away, but I'm sure I'll probably find my answer almost immediately. I got to figure out why it sounds like Kev is like in a hall. And I think I know the answer, even though some people out there will probably just get triggered and get all upset at it. But I'm not going to be the one to go over with him. Mish could better explain it for me. But I have a feeling some of you out there will agree with me on this. I think on Kev's end, he may have to disable in his audio settings, you know, like the additional sound effects and stuff that you have, because that could possibly be the deal. But, you know, I could always raise volume, but, you know, that whole thing, it's a little, don't get me wrong. I'm sure people will say, and I agree, the audio quality tonight was probably the best it's ever been. No doubt. But I have to figure out why that's a little bit of hallish, you know, and I don't mean Scott. But everyone, have a great night, and I'll catch you all again on Monday. Ciao.